Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning. We're being blessed more ways than one, all those beautiful babies. I'll tell you, we've had mass confusion. We want to apologize this morning. A lot of things going crazy. Apologize to all our online people. We were down a couple songs today with our sound, and it was just a little switch we didn't hit, but we hit the switch now. So, yeah, our apologies for being down. And today's the day that we've streamed to all of our different campuses. And so we have everybody out there watching and listening, and it's going to be a good day. I woke up with a crazy thought today. I thought, I wonder how many of our people will come to church filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many people got up today and actually got filled with the Holy Spirit before they came to church. See, the Bible says, Paul says in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is contrasted with being drunk. So did some of you get up today and you just took some time in worship? You took some time in the Word and you just got drunk in the Holy Spirit before you even came? So you came in here drunk? See, drunk people see things differently, right? Take a look at this. I want you to see this. I spent half an hour trying to talk with them, wanting to learn about their culture, until the bartender cut me off and told me they were patio umbrellas. Oh, you get it? You will see things differently when you're drunk. And you're drunk with the Holy Spirit, you'll see things differently. I have been sitting on something for a long time, but I haven't wanted to tell you, but I'm going to tell you today. The church is being ripped off, and it's being ripped off pretty consistently over the last years. We don't know the amount, but we know that probably tens and thousands of dollars are being stolen from the church on a regular basis, and we don't know exactly who. We know it's an inside job, that's for sure. We know that. Because of it, we might have to lay people off. There's a lot of stuff we might have to do. It's hard to understand how anyone would rob from God. We don't know this for a fact, but we believe to be true that these people who are stealing this money are using it on frivolous things like new cars, new houses. They're spending it on health clubs, new clothes, vacations. Leads me right to my text this morning, Malachi 3:8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe, that means 10%. Into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me. Test me. Test me now in this, says the Lord God. It's the only place in the Bible says, test me in this. What? If you give 10% of your money to God, it says, test me in this. Just try me. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. I know it's a tough way to start a service. I do not want to be legalistic today, nor do I want to tell you that God won't love you if you don't give. You'll still go to heaven. If you never give a penny, you'll go to heaven because you're God's kid and God loves you and He saved you and it's not based on any kind of works. But we need to want to give. I put off speaking on tithing and giving because I know how tough it is on some of you. I know financially some of you are making it from paycheck to paycheck, and I feel so bad for you. So every time my leadership says, speak on tithing, speak on giving, I go, I don't want to. But then it finally dawned on me, I am cheating you by not preaching on this. You're the ones getting cheated. I'm being selfish by not preaching on this. Because we're going to see here this morning that tithing and giving is to your benefit. It's for you. It's hard for me. I remember when we were at the old church building years ago, I told the congregation I'm going on vacation this coming week and I'll be gone a few weeks. And an elderly, sweet little lady walked up. She had to be 85, if anything. And she walked up. She was trembling, and she was all excited. And I said, what's the matter? She says, I was going through all my stuff in my drawers looking for some extra money to buy a quart of milk because I didn't have any milk. And I was looking for some money, and I found these dollars, and I want to give them to you to spend on your vacation. Right away, I was going to say, no way. And God started speaking to me and said, look how excited she is. You think I can't bless her for this? It means a lot to give this to you. And man, I gulped real big and I go, oh. I said, thank you. Can I pray for you? But if I really believe in God's word, I'm cheating you by not speaking on this. Look at Luke 6:38. And as we look, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, this is the word of God. It says, give. And it will be given to you. They, who? Your boss, your employer, your neighbors, your friends, the government. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by your standard measure, it will be measured right back to you in return.
Whoa.
I don't know of anywhere in the Bible where God says, test me. Give and test me. Philippians 4:17-19. See, Paul was going through a hard time, and the church was given to him, money to him. And he goes, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full. And he said, man, I have more than enough of everything, and it's supplied to me by God. That's what he's saying. I received everything in full. I have an abundance of everything. Abundance of money, abundance of everything I need. I'm amply supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And now, he says, I'm going to give you a promise based on the fact that you're a giver. If you're giving, my God will supply every one of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You've all heard my God stories. I've got car stories, I've got house stories, I've got money stories. And you say, well, God's not concerned about that kind of stuff. You know, he's just concerned about, no, he's concerned about everything. Everything. See, some people, you know, Pastor Ron and those guys, you know, they drive a nice car, or they, you know, they seem to have a nice shirt, nice clothes, nice shoes. Maybe there's a reason for it. We give, we believe, we pray, we have faith. I never asked for an airplane, although it would be a bad idea as much as I'm traveling. We don't want to be frivolous. Now, let me talk to you a moment about first fruits. A lot of you don't know anything about first fruits. See, when you give your life to God, you get everything he has, but he takes everything you have. It's a trade. I mean, I can't believe we actually get angels to go with our kids, walk our guardian angel. We get all this stuff, authority. We get all this stuff. But God says, remember that little illustration? I kind of turned the pearl of great price around one time, that parable. Turned it around a little bit and gave it a secondary meaning. But yeah, this pearl, you want it. And it's like the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. You're walking along and you see this pearl on the beach. A guy's got a table, he's selling it. And you go, oh my God, I have that pearl. It's the greatest thing. And I'm a pearl collector. Oh my God, I want one. Can I buy that? Is that for sale? He says, yeah, it's for sale, but it's very expensive. I've got to have it. It'll cost you everything you have. I want your wife. I want your kids. I want your house. I want your car. I want your pants, I want your shirt, I want your wallet, I want your bank account. And the guy was beside himself because he wanted the pearl, and he takes it. As he's walking away, he says, everything is now yours. He said, just remember, you can use it all till I want it. And that's kind of the deal we make with God. First fruits, do you understand when you give your life to God, He owns everything you have. It's a deal you make with Him, deal or no deal. Now, He says, although I own everything you have, that's the deal we make. I get everything you have, you get everything I have. All I'm asking is for 10% of it back right now. And then I'll even make you a better deal. You give me 10% back, and I'll take your 90% that's left over, and I'll stretch it to 120. Divinely, divinely. Now I'm preaching on giving today, and you will not believe this. You think there's not a devil. 10 minutes before I got through the first service, every one of our online giving things went down. Everything went down. The kiosk went down. Online giving went down. Everything shut down on the internet. 10 minutes before I was through. That's not a coincidence. Now stay with me. This is going to get better. Proverbs, first fruits, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty. My barns fill plenty. I got goats, I got chickens, I get organic eggs. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Ezekiel 44, 30. The first of all the first fruits of every kind and every contribution of every kind from all your contributions shall be for the priests. You shall also give to the priests the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. There are exactly three tithes in the Old Testament. Let's go on to the next verse. As soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance the first fruits of grain, new wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought it abundantly, the tithe of it all. Listen to me closely. In the Old Testament, there were three tithes. One tithe went to the priests because they had no way to make a living. The second tithe went to feed the poor. The third tithe went for festivals. And there was three in the Old Testament. They kind of tithed about 23% instead of 10. Their taxes were kind of involved with it. Look at the next verse here. 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, what? I pray in all respects you may prosper. What? Financially, relationally, health. I pray in all, that's my prayer for you. All respects you'll prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now, in the Bible, there's a law of the first fruits. When someone had a baby, the firstborn was given to God, dedicated, and also the grandparents could even claim the firstborn. For example, Jim and Tara don't know, but Kylie belongs to us. That's our oldest. And when they move, she's going to start living with us again, so she really belongs to us. She was the oldest, see? But the first of your grain went to God, the first did, the first of your produce, the first of your, when you'll notice in the Old Testament when you read the stories, when they go in and conquer a land, the Israelites, God takes the first spoils. Then they can have it after that. He gets the first. The first of everything belongs to God. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, said, look, I'm giving you the whole garden. Everything's yours except my part. I have a part that's mine. And it's called the tree of knowledge. That's mine. You don't touch what's mine. You get everything else. Everything else is yours, but you don't touch what's mine. And what did they do? They wanted what belonged to God too. Satan came along and said, hey, don't just take what he's given you, but take what you've given him. Take his part and your part, and you'll be that much richer. And they did, and they lost everything. What did it say there? A curse is on you. A curse is on your finances. When you don't give me the part that belongs to me. And we might say more about that later. I don't know if we have time or not. But when you give, it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Let me demonstrate with some lemons up here. This is your salary. This is what you get. And you get 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, here's your paycheck or whatever you get. Here's what's coming to you. 10, this is all yours, but you realize one of these belongs to God. So you take nine, and then God gets one. And God, we take the one. So you got your nine, you bring the one, and you give your tithe to the church, you give your tenth, and so we take it, and we cut it up. You give it to us, and we cut it up. And we give some of it to Teen Challenge. Some goes to Crisis Pregnancy Center. Some goes to the missions. Some goes to paying people's utilities. Some go for salaries of our pastors. Some go for the big building. Some goes for this. And we do that with the tenth that you give. And we're praying over it. We're in contact with the needs. And we know. See, what you give doesn't affect our salary at all. We have set salaries. We've had them for 40 years. And so that stays pretty constant. But that's what we do. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God cares about the people in prison? How many of you think God cares about the people in prison? Look at Hebrews 13:3. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Matthew 25, Jesus says something really interesting. He says, I was in prison and you came to me. I was in prison, you came to me. And we said, God, Jesus, when did we ever see you in prison? He said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did to me. We showed you a video last week. We've been given Bibles, as many Bibles as they need, we give them to the prison. When they need my books, because the prisoner, we give them to them. We've been losing money like crazy. But we don't charge them, we just give them. When I do book signings, I give books. I see poor families come, little kids are looking, how much are that? So you can have them all. Here, you can have them all, sweetheart. I do it all the time. Because that's our spirit. Did you think God cares about the babies being aborted? 9 months old. They can lay them out and let them die now. Our Senate just refused to change that this last week or two. A 9-month-old baby survives, boy, they will leave it there to die. You think God cares about that? Okay, right now we have a chance to buy another truck with ultrasound in it. It's $150,000. I'm going to do a President Trump on you. I'll build the law and make Mexico pay for it. I want that truck, but I want you millionaires to pay for it. We have about 40 millionaires or 30 in our church. I want you to pay for that truck. It's $150,000, and if each of you gave $20,000, $30,000, you could pay for that, and I guarantee you all kinds of babies' lives would be saved by that. We're going to increase our donation to Crisis Pregnancy Center and other places. You think God cares about Teen Challenges? He care about the young people who come through here all drugged out and need to be. You think he cares about that? Ruben Heredia runs the out there shout. He goes to this church. And do you think God cares about the rescue mission and these people in the streets getting warm beds at night and food? Do you think he cares? Yes. What if that was your kid? What if your kid was on the street and you didn't know where he was at? Would you be thankful or what for the Christians that were giving and supporting the rescue mission? Food. People coming by for food. In our Vegas church, we give brown bags out. People all day are ringing our doorbell. And we're giving at the church office. They'll ring the bell and we'll come out and give them brown bags, brown bags, brown bags. You think God cares that when you guys lose a loved one at 3 a.m, that we have a pastor that can go out there and spend 3 hours with them that doesn't have to work, and he can go out there at 3 a.m. and spend time praying with them and crying with them? Do you think God cares? You think God cares about all the people coming in that are so messed up, and we have people paid to go counsel them and work with them and then give them out? Do you think he cares? Yes. How about this big building? I hear people sometimes go, yeah, God has to have that big building, seats 3,400. What do you think he, yeah, Ron, you want him to pay for that? That's ridiculous. You fool, you just don't understand, do you? You don't understand. How can I say this? I don't want to be braggadocious, because believe me, anything I have has been given by the mercies of God. But listen to me, hear me out. I can't say this specifically and be detailed and hit it on the nose, but I think it's safe for me to say the majority of pastors in our country are not walking with God. A lot of them know a lot about God. And for that, we're thankful. But a lot of them aren't walking with God. The majority aren't walking with God. And so when people do find a pastor who's really walking with God, with God's stories and everything, they're all going to go to that one place. You're going to have to have a very big building. Because they're going to want to hear if someone's walking with God. And so I'm sorry, but we have to have this building to get the people in so they can hear about God. It's just the way it goes. Again, Dr. Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world, said, I can go anywhere and be successful because I've learned to walk with God, and everybody wants to know how to walk with God. Isaiah 58, that the Lord told us to establish this church on, is true for us both personally and corporately, where it says, if you care for the orphans, the widows, the homeless, the victims, the prisoners, then God says, man, watch what I'll do. Just watch what I'll do. I mean, when you give everything to God, see, when you give your life to God, it ought to affect the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you spend your money. It ought to affect everything. And once you're all in, oh my gosh, is that exciting? You might have seen this years before. This is a true story. Before you put the picture up, let me explain. A guy went here for years, Norm Allen. One day he put a lemon in the tithing offering bag. Picked a lemon off his tree, put it in the offering bag. I can't explain how this works. He came back next year and said, you're not going to believe this. I have two lemon trees. The one I tithe the lemon on, the lemons have grown this big, like cantaloupes. The other one's normal. Look at this picture. This is one, I went out and saw the tree. Now, why would the lemons only get big on the one tree? The other one, they were normal sized. He tithed on that tree. And P.S., stop putting marijuana in the offering plate. It's happened twice now. Especially after a message like this, people put marijuana in. Gosh, is there any hope for you guys? I don't know. Sheep story. If you were at Man Cave at one of our campuses the other day, Saturday, Mike Wills that oversees our pod in Springville. I told you a story of Mike one time. I don't know all the ins and outs. I might not be saying this right, but he's a rancher, has cattle, and another thing is he has bees. He runs honey. And one day he looked out and there were sheep all in his yard, everywhere, and he didn't like sheep in his yard. Normally, on non-drought years, the lake had a little stream that formed a barrier and the sheep stayed over on the other side. But it was a drought year and they came right up to his yard, on his patio, everywhere. He did not like the sheep there. But he didn't want them there, didn't want them there. It's kind of like a curse, whatever. But now, previous to this happening, just probably months before, he had talked to my wife and I about praying. He was tithing and he needed to be blessed. He said, I need God's help now. And I've been tithing faithfully. He just tithed a bunch of money to the church too, right for this. And he wanted to get rid of the sheep, get rid of them. What he didn't know was, the next year he found out, I did not know this. These sheep had been eating mustard plants in other areas. He never had the mustard plants on his acreage. And now if they'd come over, they were pooping out mustard seed all over his grounds everywhere. The next year he had all this mustard seed, which I didn't know. Somehow this makes the honey more expensive. And when bees are overworked, they reproduce more. So now he had extra bees to sell. He made a fortune on his honey. See, God even caused the sheep to poop out the blessing. I'm going to title a sermon, The Blessings in the Poop. It'll blow you away what God does regularly when you're sold out to Him. Take a look at this video right here.
The true story of someone's journey to generosity. There was a missionary in Hong Kong, and he had a desire to start a Christian camp for young people. And he had an opportunity to buy a resort and conference center that had gone bankrupt. He made an offer. It was a multi-million dollar property, and the offer was accepted, but then he had to go raise the money. He traveled around the world and talked to wealthy people to see if they would help him with this particular project. People promised to pray for him, but no one gave him a single dollar. He went back to Hong Kong quite discouraged. But when he got back from Hong Kong, there was a girl that had written him from America. She was just an eight-year-old girl. And in this particular letter she wrote him, she said, "Dear Mr. Bechtel, I hear you want to buy a camp for children in Hong Kong, and I'm giving you all the money that I have so you can buy the camp." It was $1. Mr. Bechtel did not have any other money outside of the $1 from this young girl. The day came for the closing, and the corporation called him and said, "Do you have all of your money?" And the missionary said, "Well, yes, I do." And he went to the closing, and he took along the girl's letter and the $1. And they said, "Mr. Bechtel, do you have the money? Do you have payment for the camp?" And he handed over to the executives that letter from that little girl and that $1. They asked him, "Mr. Bechtel, are you serious?" And he said, "I'm sorry, this is all that I have." They asked him to leave the room, and they began to talk amongst themselves. And when they asked him to come back into the room, they said, "Mr. Bechtel, we received this letter and this dollar as payment in full." And they signed over the ownership of that hotel and conference center to Mr. Bechtel. That camp became Sun Dao Camp in Hong Kong. I believe now over 1 million people have gone to that camp, and over 100,000 people have received Christ, all because of the generosity of one little girl who gave $1. She gave her all to the Lord Jesus, and he took it and he used it. I pray that this story would be a blessing and an encouragement to you.
You heard our God stories. We have oodles of God stories. Even the house I'm living in now, I gave a house away. I gave a car away. I did all that. But even the house I'm living in now, I told you, my wife has said for years, you sold our favorite house. We lived in 2001. How did that come about? It just so happened, I didn't have enough money probably to buy it, but it just so happened that my daughter-in-law's sister owned the house. We found out they were selling it. We didn't get any realtors involved, nothing. Moved in with the exact amount I wanted. We have all these God stories. Listen to me, church. It's easy to say I love God, but money's always the last thing to go. We are tied to our money, and I understand. I understand it takes a lot. Now, there are those who will say, you always have these guys, "Well, you know what, you don't have to tithe. I'm a theologian, and I'll show you, you know, that the tithing's not for today. It's part of the Old Testament law, and you don't need to tithe today. It was only for the Jews." First of all, tithing, the tithing law or rule or whatever you want to call it, the tithing lifestyle was established way before the law with Abraham, Father Abraham. That was a long time before the law. And even the Bible says, if you're children of Abraham, do exactly what Abraham did. Abraham gave a tenth of what he got in war. He gave it to God. Secondly, the New Testament never validates tithing. I mean, that was just, you know, the Old Testament. Listen to me. God has always needed a system, some kind of system to finance his kingdom on earth. He's always had to have a system from day one. He says, "I'm serious about financing my temple, my tabernacle, my church." And he's chose tithing as the system to finance his kingdom on earth. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 23:3. Now, before we read this, I want you to know, when Jesus came along, he didn't come back and reestablish all the laws and rules they'd been living by for years. He just expounded on them. And so he comes to the religious people and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these things are the things you should have done without neglecting the tithing and the others." You need to keep on doing that. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill." And then Romans 2:29, the first part of it says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly." We're tied to the Jews. What they did, we need to do, and likewise, a lot of what they did, not everything. Some things are customary, some are ceremonial, but the tithing doesn't fall under that. Now, these naysayers, these guys on the internet say, "Oh, you don't tithe, you know, you don't have to tithe in the New Testament, da, 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 da." Okay, if you even want to remove that, let's go back to another verse. Let's say you didn't believe that tithing was from God. Then how about Hebrews 13:17? "Obey your leaders and submit to them because they keep watch over your souls." So if they say, "I want this church to give 10, then you're caught on another verse. When I go out to eat with people, it's really funny. I don't like people paying for my meals all the time. Thinking, well, I got to pay for pastor's meals. Hey, I get a salary too. And so we'll argue over the check, and I'll go, I want to pay this. No, I want to pay. I want to pay. I said, let's stop arguing. I'm going to pull a verse out in Hebrews right now. It says, obey your leaders. You have no choice but to let me pay. You have no choice. I just trumped you. I pulled one on you. And I do that all the time. You can't win with me on that. But read Luke 6:38 again. What does it say? You give and it will be given to you. God said, I'll move upon your employer's heart. I will move on your pastor's heart. A lady walked back today that's going to Ethiopia today, another team. And right away I said, you know what? God's told me to give to you right now. God moves on people's hearts. And he says, I will bless you. How can you tell me? How are we going to supply Bibles to these prisoners? How are we going to give them books? How are we going to help Crisis Pregnancy Center? How are we going to help the rescue mission? How are we going to keep this big building going? How are we going to do that if God's system doesn't work? If people don't get, how are we going to do it? See, I don't tell you, but right now, the other day, last year, January, February, last year, December, and this year, we're $50,000 in the red. From last year to this year, because people lost their jobs and a bunch of stuff was hit. And am I worried? Not at all. Not at all. God's going to move on your hearts and it's going to happen, not a doubt in my mind. I don't have to worry. I deliver the word and let God do the rest. That's exactly what. But how are we going to do it? Right now, we have a team on their way back from Africa. They've been in the field. Right now, this is taken from a phone. It's not, but this is right here in the field, Ethiopia, yesterday, the day before. Look at this right here.
Okay, I want to thank Valley Bible for all your investment here. We are feeding children, and I can tell you, we've come to the ends of the earth. And that's spoken in the Bible, that we're to go in our own neighborhood, but we're also to reach the nations to the ends of the earth. And your church is doing that. And I just want to thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your partnership, because there are children here without food. There are children here without knowing the hope and the grace of Jesus. But because of your giving and because of what you're doing, they're able to hear the gospel but also get their tummies full. So God bless you and thank you for all you're doing.
Meal like this. There's so much malnourishment here, it just breaks my heart. And this little baby. Poor little thing. This is the reality of life here. Life is so precious.
That's not some doctored up video, that's Dr. Nadel's daughter right there. That's a team on the field. And we had another team backstage today, I'm praying for, that's leaving for 3 weeks right now to Kenya and other places. And we continue to feed and help. Look at James chapter 2:16. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? What good is that? See, again, the people that try to convince you that tithing and giving isn't necessary, we're free indeed. You know who those people are? They're little selfish critters that somehow want to keep all their finances for themselves and feel good about it scripturally. How does the love of God indwell us? If we see all these needs, we have all these people out on the streets, we have all these babies being aborted, we have all this hurt and pain, I don't understand it. Again, you'll go to heaven if you disregard this. God loves you. You can come to this church and never give a dime, and we're still glad you're here. And we love you, and we will help you with everything we have. Right now, our big warehouse, you saw a few weeks ago, all the furniture we're giving people, all the stuff. I showed you 7-8 families we gave furniture to. We furnished their house. We farm labor that never was able to get a house. We helped him. We're going to continue to do plus one. It's crazy. Now we've got 7 minutes left. Let me give you real quickly these observations about giving. Number one is when you start giving, you'll have God stories. You'll have God stories. Again, you hear all my God stories. It's crazy. God says, test me and see what I'll do for you. Number two, the Bible says more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I don't know about you, but I love receiving. If you came up and gave me a Corvette today, I'd be the most excited guy on the planet. An old one. I like those old ones. But I'm even more excited when I'm able to give the Corvette to someone. The Bible's right on. It's more blessed. And don't make me go over that word blessed again. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Number three, giving will change your heart. I don't know about you, but I've got all the outward things pretty well down, but I want my heart changed. You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be. You know who gives VBF the problems? You know who badmouths us and hates us? Is the people that aren't givers, because their heart isn't here. The people that give never bother us, never go after, because their heart follows. See, stinginess is a bondage that needs to be broken, needs to be dealt with. Hey, I know, gang, I feel your pain. I know some of you are sitting there right now going, he cannot believe it. I can't even feed my kids. I can't. I know and I understand, but let's either take God at his word or not. He says, if you give, I will start helping you. I've done it and it works. I mean, next one, it'll challenge your faith. I was preaching one time, I'll never forget, and I saw this couple in the back, and I vaguely knew them, and God spoke to me while I was preaching, and as soon as the service was over, I ran back there, and I said, hey, God told me to give this $40, and they started bawling. I got a lot of stories like this. I said, what's up? They said, we had $3 to our name today, no gas, didn't know how we were getting lunch or anything, and God said, put it in the offering plate. Wow, I got all kinds of stories like that. Number four, it increases your joy and life expectancy. What? A lot of studies have been done on giving, a lot of them. And in one study, here's what it said. I wrote it down. Giving protects your health 2 times as much as aspirin protects you from heart disease. That's in a study. Another study said adolescent suicide and depression is lessened when kids are taught to give as a lifestyle. We need to raise our kids to be blessed by God, because we're not always going to be here. Teach them about the laws of the kingdom and say, these laws of the kingdom work, kids. They work. They always work. Again, think about it. You remember this. But when we were in the little shoe store building over on Baker and we were outgrowing it, one day I called for a prayer meeting and I said, God, we're going to come to you tonight and you're going to have to give us wisdom about how we get $150,000, because we were in the storefront building, old shoe store building on Baker, and we knew that the old Calvary Bible on Monterey and King was coming up for sale, and we wanted to get $150,000 put down, and we didn't know how to do it. We had saved $10,000 in the first year, and we thought that was pretty good, so we had that in the bank. And no joke, just the way it happened, I'm going to the prayer meeting, and I don't know why I'm coming from that side of town, but I'm driving down trucks, and they're fixing to turn on Baker. And I'm praying, God, we need money, we need money, God, we need money, we need money. Oh, God, I need money. How do we get money? And I heard this voice say, turn on the radio, turn on the radio, turn on the radio, turn it. And I turned it on. And the first second I turned it on, there was a voice of a preacher, Ken Copeland. He said, you need money? I said, oh, do I? Were you in this car just now? He said, give all your money away. And I go, oh, fool you with that. We went to prayer meeting, Glenn Brown. We know Glenn Brown. Pastor Glenn Bryan, went to pastor then. We all went to prayer and we said, split up and go pray and we'll come back and see what God's saying. We came back and he said, I heard God. What did he say? He said, we're supposed to give all our money away. I said, you got to be kidding me. No. Next day, so we didn't lay time waste. We took all $10,000 we saved, gave it away to Teen Challenge. The next day, everything gone. Look at us now. 8 campuses and you haven't seen anything yet. Look at everything that's happening. And that's all God. Now listen to me. This is really important. While I'm finding my place here, it's going to be really important as soon as I find my place. As we close, 3 fears that people have about tithing. The first one is, I'll have a lack of provision if I give. No, it's just the opposite. You'll have more. Don't ask me how it works. Can't explain it. It's just God. Number two, your fear is, well, God will never know I gave. He knows everything. He tells me when I'm up working the oak trees, said, you among the oak, give me a verse, you in the oak trees, I got a word. It's crazy. He sees everything. There's nothing that passes his attention. And number three, you have a fear, but God wants all my money. God doesn't want it all. Isn't that weird how the devil is? You know, you think if you give God something that he'll abuse it. Like, God, I'm single. You know, I'm a man, or I'm a woman. Let's use a woman. I'm a woman. I'm single. And God, you take control. You give me the guy you want. And you just know he's going to give you some little pygmy that came back from Africa, you know, that ate people and because he's godly. We don't trust God. We don't trust him. He doesn't want all your money. He's made a deal with you. Now listen to me. The same principle will work with giving your time, giving your energy. You give it and you'll get back time, get back energy. But don't confuse that with tithing. Tithing's always money. It's always money. But the devil says, you won't see, I don't know how it works. God says, you give 10%, then I take the 90 and I stretch it to 120 and I do it every time. I can't wait to hear the stories. Now, you got to see this video. It's so funny. This is us. This is us, this video. I want you to see it right now, and then I'm going to come back in here.
Father, please hear our prayer for the poor.
Thank you, Father. Yes.
We beseech you for the disenfranchised, the less fortunate, and those that suffer. Yes. Show us your will so we can continue to do your work.
Yes, Father. Thank you.
I am called to answer your prayers. Listen carefully to my instructions.
Hallelujah!
I want you to sell everything you own and immediately begin service to the poor.
I just want to clarify, to everything?
Yes. Rid yourself of all earthly possessions.
This house is haunted!
Go!
It's insidious!
Ah, I see what they did there.
Are we fickle or what? This house is haunted. $50,000 less this year than last year at this time. Can you operate that way? No. No way. Are you worried? Not even a bit. The God who's taken care of us 47 years, he will not stop. Not even worried. See, what I like about my job, I just come out, give you what's in my heart, walk away, and don't worry anymore. The rest's up to God. I did my part. Now he does his part. If you're not a giver and you start giving, you're going to have some God stories. I'd love to hear them. You know, when I got saved, I had one philosophy that I lived by. That day that I held my Bible, my wife was leaving me with Tara, little baby Tara, she's taking him. I said to God, either you're real or you ain't. And if you're not, I'm not going to serve you, but if you are, I will give you everything I have. Either he's real or he ain't. And God says, you finance my work on this earth and you watch what I'll do for you. He said, test me and see. Call my bluff. We're going to take offering at the end today to give you a chance. And again, if you don't want to give, praise God, we still love you. I didn't mean this to be condemning or legal. Just going to share the word. It's worked for me. Yeah, sister, it's worked for me. It's worked for me. Remember, I'm the guy that 97 is going to die. Doctor said emphatically I would die. Am I dead? No, because I'm preaching the word. I shall live and not die that I might proclaim the works of the Lord. I leave it with you. If you want to Whatever you want to do, we're going to give up. Please don't leave till the ushers pass you so you don't cause confusion. And if you don't want to give, just smile at them. And if you want to put a buck in, put a buck and say, God bless this buck. Love you. Leave it with you. I can't wait for my new series next week. It's going to be Becoming a Warrior for Christ. It's going to be good. Love you. See you here, there, in the air. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our care.